On the show today, we have Callahan Associates' John Jeffries talking about his latest article at Big Idea for 2018, asking the tough questions. So check it out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. John Jeffries from Callahan and Associates. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mike. How's it going? It's nice and cold here in D.C. and ready for the warm weather that you're going to bring us from San Diego.
I hope so. I hope so, because I don't do well in cold weather. So this wimpy Southern California boy does not do well when it's below 50 degrees. So so hopefully we'll bring something out there for you. So very cool. Hey, you, every year you write an article, kind of like your big ideas for the ensuing year article. And we've talked about it every year since then. But this year is a little bit different,
yeah.
A little bit slant. It's called The Big Idea for 2018, Asking Tough Questions. And
yeah.
It was a fantastic article. Just, you know, read it two or three times, and obviously I had to, so I'm writing some questions and interviewing you about it, but I enjoyed it. So it's a very honest, kind of in your face type of article that we really needs to be addressed. And so for those who haven't, a couple of people who may not have seen it yet, John, but can you provide us with a quick summary on this big idea?
Yeah. And Mike, maybe the way to do it is talk about how we ended up here.
Okay.
Every quarter we put together a trend watch call, and we sort of look at the last quarter's trends and talk about the industry and how it performed and look at some examples where credits do well. And that event, the good news is, has been really good for us. The interesting part is it sort of feels like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
In that it seems every quarter we report, numbers are strong.
Mm-hmm.
And compared to last quarter, the numbers remain strong. And, you know, when you take a macro view, it looks like the credit industry is doing really well, right? Through the third quarter, assets grew 6.7%. Loans were up 10.5%. Members were up 4%.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And those are continued momentum. So you look at it and say, wow, we have all this momentum. And then you start to peel back and say, wait a second, why don't we have more? What's going on here?
Yeah.
Right? And you start looking at, well, maybe let's look at some market share. You know, as long as I've been in the industry, credits have been about 6% deposit market share. We have about 8% of first mortgages and about 19% of automobile. Right? Those are reasonable, but why not more?
Yeah.
And then you start looking at, well, okay, from the members we have, and there are, what, 104 million credit members, what's our penetration? Right? Do we actually have good penetration there? And I think that's really where we step back and said, huh. Right, so for credits as a whole, they have about 17% of their members have a credit card. About 20% have a car loan.
Mm-hmm.
About 60%, 57% have a share draft, and 4% have a mortgage loan. So we stepped back and said, well, you know, we think that for the majority of Americans, they'd be better off if they did more of their business with a credit union. Where's the disconnect?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we doing more? Why aren't more people choosing to do more of their business? So you know, even though the membership number is going up, the penetration numbers really haven't changed all that much.
Right, right.
And part of it may be that, you know, if you look at my wallet, maybe like your wallet and others, it's becoming much more fragmented, right? You may be doing bits and pieces with more people as more specialists coming to the marketplace.
Correct.
But does it need to be that way, right? And that's really where the tough question came from, is as we were reflecting on sort of where the industry is and the momentum we have, sort of the reality of why aren't we doing more?
Is there a sense of complacency that you see? Because times are so good, you know, why rock the boat? But, you know, from my perspective, when times are good, that's the time to put the accelerator, that's the time to put the pedal to the metal, you know?
Well, yeah. And I think you nailed it, Mike. I think that's one of the reasons why we wanted to have this theme is that things are going well, right? Maybe we can address, we have the resource to step back and ask some hard questions about, well, you know, if we compete on service, what does that really mean? What does that mean in a digital world,
mm-hmm.
right? When more and more is being done remotely on an iPhone or a tablet or a PC, not walking to the branch. How does service relate to that? I think the other part is, do we really understand the story we want to tell, right? You know, I think when you look at the big numbers, it's really easy to say, well, look at how much success the banks are having, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have all this market share. And one of the fears that we have is if we follow down that path and sort of imitate or mimic what the banks do, we're going to revert to a lowest common denominator. And sort of the reality that, you know, we've been seeing with a lot of creatives is, for many creatives, we're a niche, right? We're a niche player. Let's own that fact, right? That's not necessarily a bad thing. It can have a negative connotation, but I think when done appropriately, it can be really positive. And, you know, in some ways, who cares if you alienate 80% of your market if your 20% of the market is your niche and they find your value prop really compelling?
Yeah. Wasn't that Apple's mantra for a long time?
I think it was, right? So there are lots of really good examples out there. And I think that one of the risks we see is, how do we not follow the Me Too strategy, right? There's an old saying that if you want to beat the competition, you can't become the competition.
Right, right.
And, you know, as you know, Credens were founded in 1934 in the middle of the Great Depression. There are a lot of similarities between that time and today, right? And if you think about the number of Americans that are struggling in small towns across the country, mm-hmm. there's a need for credit unions.
Yep.
So why aren't we getting the message out there, right? What's that story we're telling? And I think that one of the stories that really resonated with me, Mike, and sort of got me to rally behind this theme was a picture that I saw up in Vancouver, at Van City.
Oh.
And they had a picture of a young lady holding up a sign saying, "My well-being is linked to yours." Wow. Right? And I thought that was a really powerful statement because, you know, we hopefully have a common bond. We're part of a common community, whether it's geographic, where we work, where we go to church, where we go to school.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of what makes credit unions unique.
Yeah.
So how do we help that my well-being is linked to yours? How do we show people the impact that credit unions are having in our community and making our community stronger? Another really neat example is actually showing your members and community where their deposits are going. You know, I think historically we've been taught to market deposits on rate.
Mm-hmm.
2-year CD, 150, right? And,
yeah.
and the consumer is going to shop on rate. Well, I think for better or worse, that's playing right into the competition's hands because that's commoditizing our product.
Yeah.
So what if we actually show where the deposits are going, right? They're going to go help fund 163 home loans in your community.
Yeah.
They're going to make 112 car loans to people that may not have got it somewhere else, right? It's really can we actually show the impact we're having? Because I think as a movement, we've been maybe a little timid to talk about our impact,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little too humble.
That's what I've heard.
So how do we think about the impact we're having in new ways and maybe retell that story so that we can be, like, as you said, Apple, right? And really find our niche and exploit it.
Exactly. And I mean, another example was just this morning I was interviewing a guy from a lending company, and he had been in the banking industry for years and years, and now they're slowly getting into the credit union industry. He says, "I don't know anything about credit unions, and, you know, and we're going to work with them, but I've been in the banking industry for, you know, a couple of decades, and I don't know that much about them." But you would think somebody in that industry would. He says, "I know of them, but I don't really know how they work. You know, I don't know what their deal is," you know, type
right.
of is what he was telling me. I went, wow, you know, there's the big disconnect right there.
And, you know, we have what, 1 in 3 Americans or something is a member of a credit union, yet maybe we're shining our light under a bushel, right? How do we get out and tell our story? How do we think about this in new ways? And really, it may require us to ask some hard questions, right?
Yeah.
We compete in service. Do we really? You know, we think we're nice and friendly, but are we really?
Mm-hmm.
We think we're easy to do business with, but are we really?
Yeah.
And then the other part is, who's our real competition, right? And do we actually understand who we're competing against? And, you know, I think the final part is, do we really understand what we aspire to, right? And do we actually know what winning looks like?
Mm-hmm.
And is there a clear vision for what that is? I think, as you and I have talked in the past, one of the things we see a lot of credits focus on is this mission-based or financial wellness of their members,
mm-hmm.
which could be in direct conflict with traditional banking-like measures of success,
yeah.
ROE, ROA, growth, etc. So by focusing on the member and the member well-being and the member improvement and the well-being of your community, how do we transition from a sort of bank-like model and metrics to more of a social impact member well-being type environment?
Yeah.
And I think that's going to cause a lot of leaders to step back and really think about how they talk to the board, how they talk to the staff,
mm-hmm.
do they have the right people on the team in the right spots, how they spend their time, right? So I think there's going to be a lot of interesting conversations and dilemmas that leaders face sort of managing this transition.
Yeah, I hear a lot of leaders. I'm glad you brought that up because I hear a lot of, I listen to a lot of leadership type podcasts and things like that. And one of the main things that keeps coming up is like, what is your why? That word why. Okay. All right. Credit unions, what is your why? And tell us that story. And so I think you hit the nail on the head. It was like taking it a step further and telling the story behind the rate or the loan or whatever, you know?
Well, and I think, you know, there's a great TED Talk out there, right? And you've probably seen it with Simon Sinek about why, right? It has like 14 million views or something, right? It's you know, widely popular, and it does a really good job. And I think the lesson for credits is, you know, we've competed on the how or the what, right? You know, here's my product, here's my list of ways I can help you. But instead of focusing on the what and the how, focusing on the why. Why are we different? We were created by members a long time ago for a very specific purpose.
Yep.
Why? Right? Can we go back and think about the impact we can have in our communities and, you know, sort of go back in time and say, you know, if there were those four or five guys sitting around the table and everyone threw in $5 in the hat, what would they do today? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we think about that in some new ways? And unfortunately, the hard part is, for a series of reasons, we've been taught to measure different things, right? It, you know, one of my favorite jokes was, when's the last time an N2A came in and you know, did an exam and said, talk about your social mission and how you're doing there. Yeah. Like, let's talk about that report, right? No, it's all about, you know, ROE and growth and delinquency to protect the insurance fund, right? So they're playing more the role of insurer, not the role of, hey, are we the guardian of this cooperative movement that is set up for something different and has a congressionally mandated social mission? Right.
Yeah.
You know, very different. Yet it's easy to see how if you go down the sort of bank light model, we could become commoditized.
Totally. Totally.
Right? It's really hard to differentiate on that, especially many of us don't have scale and, you know, have similar products. Yet I think those credits that are really growing and having an impact are really focusing on the why.
Indeed. Why. So what is the, with all this in mind, John, what is the end result here? What do you guys want to achieve with this asking the tough question? Is it getting back to the basics? Is it getting back to those guys, the original founders, if you will, throwing $5 into a hat? Is it getting back to that? Or what do you want to achieve here? What do you have in mind?
Well, I think the honest answer, Mike, is we don't know, right? I think sometimes when you start asking really hard questions, you don't necessarily know what the answers are going to be, but sometimes the dialogue is the most important part. So I think what we're trying to do is how do we spark a dialogue, right? How do we help people think through their unique situations, their unique challenges, and say, why aren't we having more of an impact?
Right?
How might we think about this difference so that more of our members will use us or will be viewed as sort of one of the phrases I love is, how do we get ourselves viewed as a pillar of the community, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, what's that going to take? So there's some aspiration involved in it. But then, you know, step back and say, what's getting in the way? And instead of relying on, hey, we have all this momentum, things are going really well, take the time to reflect, right? And say, okay, things are going well, but how much better could they be going?
Yeah.
And how do we position ourselves so that the next generation has a solid, sustainable institution? So I think that what we're looking to do is have a dialogue, right? Work with credians and leaders about, well, what are you seeing in your market? How are you measuring impact? How are you talking about your story? What's working? What's not working?
Yeah.
And given that things are going well, I think we have the opportunity to sort of take a deep breath and a pause.
Exactly.
Ask some strategic questions, right? And, you know, I think that coming out of the recession, sort of people had their head in the sand trying to stay alive, and then you saw a lot of investment in technology that wasn't made during the recession. Mm-hmm. Now it seems like people are sort of looking more towards the horizon, right? Looking 2, 3, 4, 5 years out. And I think that's really where this dialogue can be helpful is not necessarily what do we do next year, but how do we need to shape the organization and really think about our impact and how we differentiate over the next 3 to 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think your article is, I don't know if you meant it this way, but the timing of your article is really, really good because the GAC is like in a month and a half or a month, basically a month away. So I think this will be talked about quite a bit because in the past, I've heard the question, how do we stay relevant? You know, how do we tell our story? I've heard those questions. And I think this one, how do we ask the tough questions to really kind of create, I don't know, I guess going back to the beginning, and you know, by asking these questions, like you said, we don't know the answer, but we can create a new, I guess, a new beginning, to be kind of cliche-ish, or I don't know.
Well, I think the other part, Mike, is the realization of how do we play a game we can win, right? If we start playing, you know, against Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Citibank, that's going to be a really hard game to win.
No doubt. You
would think that'd be an easy game to win, right? I mean, if there's a competitor that has worse consumer sentiment, it'd be hard to find one, right? I mean, yeah. You know, think of all the atrocities Wells Fargo had, yet I think they're still number one or two in market share, right?
I know.
You scratch your head and say, what else? But I think it gives us the opportunity to say, you know, how can we differentiate, right? How do we add value? And how do we play games that we can win, right? Because, you know, playing against the banks on their game, we're not going to win. So we need to change the basis of competition so we can actually win.
Yeah, I like your social model a lot. I like that a lot.
And, you know, as you said, Apple, right? How do we find that niche and own our niche? But mm-hmm. our niche isn't everyone.
Yep. Own it and dominate it.
That's right.
John, this is something that we could talk about for quite a while. This is really good stuff. And I think it's a great, like you said, I think it's a great starting point to create a spark, to create more conversation, to create more brainstorming and ideas. And this is, the timing is so good. So very cool stuff. Any last words to wrap up here, John? This is really good stuff. And I'll also put a link in the show notes to the article too, so people can go to it and check it out.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the key is we want to start our dialogue, right? Yeah. So you'll be seeing more of us asking tough questions from our leaders, and you know, we're looking to spark something. So please contribute.
Very cool. Great message to end on. John, thank you so much, sir. We will see you in a month and a half, too. Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right, John. Take care.